quick content note here, folks. We're not going to bore you with sports right now. But this evening, for over 4 hours, we're covering the NFL draft live from Detroit. AB and I will be there along with special guests. Even got a new Lions shirt on for you. But that's not why you guys are here. Facebook does a face plan, bringing down other tech airlines. One up, one down. What are they buying when they're selling Meta? They're buying the small caps. IWM up a stick. You know what? 735 or make it 835. Christian Farmhertz will join the show. Help us clear things out. Another quick note. IBM is back to being IBM. It's Thursday. I've never been more fired up for pre-market prep than today.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right, good morning, traders and investors. We never saw that closing price, 0750. We're down 33 handles, 50, 7450 off the pre-market low. The buck, well, it's trying to put in a triple bottom, down 23 and a half cents at 105.43. TLT, no bid. Well, trying to catch a bid here, under 88, down 15 cents, 88 and a quarter. There are some 830 numbers, so remind us, folks, we need to remind Triple D to go wide on that. Crude up 22 cents, 83.03. Gold up a tad, 270, 23.41.10. Silver, trying to get back to 27 and a half, up almost a dime, 27.44. In Bitcoin, very quiet here, trying to hold the bottom of yesterday's range. That's up $335 and 64,215. Let's bring on Triple D and AB simultaneously. Wow, I'm really rhyming today. Triple D. I mean, what was it like when those Meta earnings hit? I mean, were there any bids in sight? Did you have to go 50 cents below the prevailing bid in something? Or were you just lifting offers in IWM?
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it is. It's like when Meta's going down 70 bucks, what are you buying? That's what this market thinks. It's such a weird market. Like years ago, it'd be like, oh, they're crushing the market because one of the major components is down. They never do that anymore. They don't like to crush the market. They sell something and then they buy something else. And today, it's the small caps reigning. IWM trading up over a point here. You wouldn't think that would happen on Meta, but it does. Even right off the bat, you know, when Meta reports, it doesn't go down IWM at all. They know the rotation is going to happen. This market is just built for rotation. It's the ETF effects that have just, you know, taken over this market over the course of the last 5 to 10 years. And that's what continues to happen here. When something goes down hard, they buy the other things that they can in the index. Qs are going to get smacked around. Well, let's buy those non-tech QQQs. It's just the way this market rolls.
And it's like day to day now. You know, it's like we used to get to two or three or four, you know, sometimes rotations. But in earnings season, it's like one day this, one day that. But let's bring in AB. AB is down at the world headquarters of Benzinga, getting ready for the big NFL draft in the Motor City. I was down there yesterday. Dennis, you won't believe that stage in Campus Martius Park. I mean, the city is buzzing. Tell us what it's – AB, tell us who you talked to yesterday, who you got to interview ahead of the big NFL draft.
Well, yesterday, I mean, it wasn't like direct one-on-one interviews, but I got in the media scrums and was able to ask questions to a lot of the top draft prospects, including Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. So we got some good interviews, Romo Dunze. So it was a good time. You know, we got to ask some kind of funny questions. There were a lot of very serious people there asking kind of the same questions over and over again. And you could tell that the players were excited to be asked some questions that weren't as, you know, basic as some of these other questions that people were asking.
Okay, let's get to the, well, let's just go. Let's go. Facebook does a face plant. That's the name of the show. Why don't we get to those Meta earnings?
Yeah, AB, take over. Tell us about those earnings here, and then we'll tell you about the after hours action.
Yeah, so Meta reported EPS of $4.71 that beat the $4.33 estimate. So good there. Sales came in at $36.45 billion, beat the $36.15 billion, beat there by about $240 million. The numbers in terms of the actual daily active users was up 7% year over year, which if you go back to one of Meta's big drops, you know, more than a year ago, it was because the growth of the actual user had slowed down for the first time ever. But then they started talking about their expenses to be in the range of the 96 to 99 billion, updated from our prior outlook of 94 to 99 billion. So some increased costs there, but I don't think that extra, you know, $2 billion in costs is what really hit the stock. I think it's just what we talked about, that the bar was too high. They didn't raise guidance significantly. So even though they beat on EPS and beat on sales, the stock got, you know, punished on this and honestly trading down a lot more this morning than I thought it would be. I thought people would kind of come to their senses and be like, oh, this wasn't that bad of a report. But now down $76, 15% this morning.
So this earnings season is just simply all about the bar. It's the low bar. Tesla gets over the low bar easily. You know, Boeing yesterday was up even on disappointing earnings. Even Philippeau saying the earnings were, they did pull the rug out from under it. But it's all about the bar. And then Meta comes in. We talked about this yesterday on the show, too, and got this absolutely right. The bar is very high, and they're going to really, really need to blow it away for it to go higher. Didn't blow it away enough. And then they're talking about, like you said, expenditures going up. Some other stuff that they maybe didn't like as much. Expected move was 44 points, so you're well through the expected move. It's 77, almost double, so straddle riders are not feeling the love here this morning here. Does the dip get bought in Meta? Well, you're looking at gap fill, Joel. Throw it to my technical.
Oh, I was just going to say that. I was going to do a lesson, and I was going to...
I'm not going to say anything more. I'm just...
No, that's okay.
Gap fills.
Because it's so obvious. I mean, and you know, for you gap filled traders, I mean, this was a dream come true. If you weren't out here at $400, I don't care if this goes to $350 today, you had to be out there. And the reason, I'll even bring up my special data window for this. I'm not a huge gap trader. I mean, like to follow them, but your high, it had to be on last earnings day. You had a gap that was filled at $4,050. And the pre-market low comes down. It was just a tad below that at $399.92. So maybe you took 60 cents worth of heat. Hopefully you scaled your bids up all the way down there. And the other thing, too, it's a whole number. It's a whole number, a gap fill from prior earnings. I don't know what more you could ask for that. Now you're getting a little bit of a bounce. I think you might thicken up a little bit. I mean, I see we're leaking here from 430. If you're looking for a lot more upside, folks, you better target this 433 level at 5 a.m. People got a little giddy and bit it up there. So I think we'll thicken up a little bit going back to that area. We may have seen the low of the day, but man, if you got any kind of puts, you know, that you that you're long, you can buy the stock here, the old ETF, or you know, the option ping effect. So that's it, man. I wish I would have been calling that one out live, because 400, a great number. And I'll even call it, you know, if you think that this is a real overreaction, you're going to get a 400 bid over the next couple days and stabilize. But right now, a lot of people hurting.
There are going to be a lot of people coming in on day one and buying the Meta dip, and it probably bounces a bit there. But just remember, we have precedence this earnings season and towards the end of last earnings season, that buying the dip works for a day or two, and then they seem to start to leak here again. I mean, Netflix, they came in, they tried to buy the dip a couple times here, but it's still hanging out near the lows. We know the Snowflake dip buyers really got hurt. Palo Alto Networks worked for a day or two because Pelosi was in there, and then it leaked it all back eventually too. I don't know if you need to be a hero. I mean, if you're underweight tech, if you take a shot on Meta, $400, you know, you're starting to get the PE, starting to get a little bit more attracted down here. You know, it's probably going to make you money in the long run, but it seems like in this market as of late that buy the dip on the earnings dips haven't really been rewarded like they were maybe, you know, 6 months or a year ago. We're not in this raging bull market here right now. We're in a choppy market. You know, the Qs have come off the highs. kind of felt like yesterday was a selling opportunity, which it definitely turned out to be. I mean, if you just give technicals on the Qs here, Joel, we broke down, you know, we continue to break down, and then we've had the dead cat bounce up to 430, which was prior resistance back in January and early February. So we failed right at prior resistance here once again. I think the technicals actually do favor the bears here too a little bit. That's why I was bearish yesterday, trying to make some trades. It's tough though. You know, it's going to be choppy. You're going to see a lot of chop here again. Just fading overall moves is probably the thing to do.
I'll give you just an overall. We'll move on to our next stock. But, I love these kind of moves and these counter moves. So if you're trading the Qs here and you really thought you missed a major low, you had basically, what, is that 413 to 430? Let's just call it a 17-point move. Add 8.5 on that. You come into the 50% retracement, the 420 area. That's where you got to garner some bids today. S&Ps, I haven't calculated it yet, but you know, you had the big low, you know, the panic low, the rebound. Now, you know, you're backing and filling. Are people going to say, oh, I missed a major low last Friday, I got to buy the dip here? But that's what I'd be using as a gauge, is that 50% retracement on the move for really whatever you're trading. Someone also asked a question about, well, is it really a gap fill? Joel Dennis, how is this gap filled? It's a pre-market gap and a new gap. I don't know. It's filled to me.
Filled in the pre-market. Does it fill in the regular session as well? Well, the reason Joel and I started pre-market prep over 10 years ago was because we always felt the pre-market action sometimes dictated where the regular session was going to go. So levels in the pre-market can come into play in the regular session here as well. So I think if you're looking at it, you're looking at that pre-market low and it's just under $400 and saying, you know, maybe Meta does re-challenge that during the regular session. Maybe it doesn't. But if it does, I'd probably take a shot, you know, as a day trade, maybe off the bounce level. I think the first time down there in the regular session, I think Meta would bounce around 400. I don't know if it's going to get back down there. We don't have a crystal ball. But exactly. I do think, like, looking at those pre-market levels help you trade the regular session.
All right, let's go ahead and transition from Meta to another tech stock that reported yesterday. That would be IBM, also getting hammered, down $17, about 9.3%. The numbers for IBM, so adjusted Q1 EPS came in at $1.68, beat the $1.60 estimate. Sales came in at $14.46 billion, missed the $14.55 billion estimate there, so beat on EPS. Missed on sales, and then let's see if we have any.
It's the merger there too. So they did announce the merger in the earnings report.
Yeah,
this was rumored. We kind of knew this one already. It was rumored by the market here for a few days. Does prove to be correct. They acquire HCP for $35 a share. So lots of headlines here driving the bus in IBM. We know sometimes, you know, when you're doing acquisitions, sometimes they hit the acquirer, but the sales miss. There wasn't a lot of talk about, you know, like at least, you know, saying AI is going to, you know, move the needle here. I mean, IBM, let's give a perspective here, had the run in January from 160 to 190, all on AI hype. And really, you know, not that much said here, not seeing it in the earnings, not seeing like NVIDIA type of, you know, love here for AI. And that's concerning to a certain extent. And what we've also seen happen is some of these technology stocks, some of the old, you know, 2000 darlings here, IBM was one of them, you know, Intel, I would say as well, have come off substantially from the highs. I mean, Intel is an epic disaster here, from 50 down to 34.75. I recently did buy some Intel, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But with IBM, if we were in an earnings season, a rip-roaring bull market, I'd say go in and blindly buy the dip. But it just hasn't been working in the last couple of weeks. It works in some stocks. Pepsi is defensive, you know, but overall it's just been, you know, kind of, you know, mixed bag buying the dip. And that's why I'm somewhat cautious. I think if IBM gets down to 160, I think you're going to find buyers. I think there's underneath demand here, but there's way better AI plays than IBM.
The reason I put all these question marks here is because that's exactly where we're trading on the chart, down $17.10. I'm sure that's way over the expected move. I'm just going to look like now you're going to gap it. You're gapping to a gap area. So this thing's really in the middle of nowhere. but you are filling this gap here at 166.99. There was about a 2-point gap. This was back from their Q4 earnings season. But you know what? It's not bolting out of there like Meta did off 400. I'll be looking. I wouldn't get super excited if this took out 167. I'd probably throw some bids out there at 165 because there's three lows in that area. Also, IBM could be a good candidate for a whoops trade where they just pound this thing off the open, jam sell stops, fill them at 163, go down a little bit lower than, you know, then come back up through the open. If it does open lower and continued lower, if it comes back up through that open, look out, man. There's going to be a rally sometime in IBM, a wicked rally. So be careful. Keep an eye. Opening price, important today.
You've got a lot of people caught, though, here. You know, serious breakdown here on earnings. A lot of people expecting IBM to come out and AI their way back to highs, and that's not happening. The opposite thing has occurred. I think there's room to 160. I'm not going to be a hero and just buy it in the middle of nowhere here. I think 160 is your major support, which is near where we started the year. So I think there could be a revisiting here. I did tease. I had recently bought Intel. Tell you what I'm thinking in the, going into this trade. Low I'm going to take it through the earnings. What's that?
Low bar.
Yeah. You know what? We've just seen Tesla, you know, have an epic disaster quarter. And again, you know, Musk talks it up, but they wanted to buy Tesla no matter what, just because the stock has been so beat up. The Intel bar is arguably lower than the Tesla bar. It is so low because this stock has just quietly, with no media coverage whatsoever, went from $45 to $33 in about a month. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a, what, 27, 28% fall in the course of, you know, 3 weeks of trading. It's a serious sell-off here. Started the month up at 45 and now is $34 here. So I'm going to take a shot here, and maybe I'm going to be wrong and maybe I'm going to regret this, but you know, I do think that Intel will eventually figure it out. I hope that they're going to eventually figure it out, but it's not so much a fundamental call. I just feel like the bar is so dang low, and you know what? Maybe I'm going to be wrong. Maybe it's going to gap down and I'm going to eat crow on it, but I'm actually hoping and maybe the hope is an issue here too, but I'm hoping the market's just got this high bar, low bar in its mind right now. And if Intel says anything okay, I think it could get a relief pop here. So I kind of like Intel into earnings.
Dennis, just real quick here. I mean, between the Meta and the IBM, I mean, you know, from what I, you know, saw here, not digging real deep into reports, you think the AI train, at least for the, you know, has maybe got a little bit of ahead of itself?
I think on everything, Joel. I think on everything. We've just AI'd everything. Like, oh, this is an AI play, and this is an AI play, and this is an AI play. And I mean, a lot of these stocks, you know, just aren't AI plays. I mean, we've went into like other sectors completely, and we're calling other stocks AI plays. And everybody's hungry for everything to be an AI play. And it's, you know, the only company that's really monetized the hell out of all this, SMCI, but that's because of NVIDIA. I mean, NVIDIA is the only one that's really monetized the hell out of all of this. So it's still your best play for AI, even though the valuation is high. But I do think other companies are coming. I think they're going to figure it out. And know, is, you know, Intel going to be a major producer here eventually, you know, because obviously we're trying to move away from Taiwan Semiconductor, you know, but these, you know, it takes a lot of cash to get that business going here. And that's why Intel's suffering here. So I don't know. You know what? It's a gutsy play. I'm not saying, you know, Intel bottom is in or anything. I'm just, you know, you're taking some shots. Sometimes you just take shots. This is a shot, actually. This isn't like a conviction. This is like, you know what? This low bars have been working here. I'm looking at Intel and I'm like, it just feels like the lowest bar possible. So if they say anything, okay, I think the stock will be okay.
$34. I mean, I talked about this. I don't know where it was. I remember saying, like, I'm just sick. Maybe it was in a gap down to 42. I'm like, I'm just sick of this stock. I've had this thing. I rode it from 50 to 30, back up to 50. Of course, I don't sell at 50. And I was just, when it started to leak off that 45, I'm just like, I hate this puppy. I just don't even know why I have even a small position in it. But it looks like the big boys are stepping up at 34. You got 3-4 lows in that area. If you want to be a gap fill trader again and try and be a hero, 33.22 would fill the gap. That's going all the way back to October. So gaps can be filled. That's only a $1.50 away.
I'm not convicted on this call, though, so I'll just say that much. NVIDIA, when I was buying NVIDIA at the beginning of the year, I was like very convicted on that. I bought it three times. I chased and averaged up on it. You know, that's how convicted I was on it. This one, definitely trying to catch the falling knife because it's been moving down here. AB, we're going to throw this back to you here right
now.
Yeah,
let's go ahead. And I want to move to the travel trade a little bit. So we had some airlines reporting earnings. Let's go ahead and take a look at American, ticker AAL. American Airlines trading up this morning about 5%. They reported this morning. Let's go ahead and pull up those numbers. So we had EPS came in at negative 34 cents, missed the negative 29 cent estimate. Sales came in at 12.57 billion, missed the 12.6 billion. But they adjusted their EPS outlook for Q2. They raised that above what the street was looking for. The street had a $1.18 estimate on the EPS for Q2. American said we're going to come in between $1.15 and $1.45. So strong full year profit guidance for American Airlines stock. Again, trading up this morning about 5%. You did have some other moves in some other airline stocks as well, but I'm going to go ahead and
do Southwest with it. We'll cover both. Yeah, do the Southwest.
You got the good and you've got the ugly. So we have Southwest, ticker LUV, trading down 6.5% after Southwest also missed on EPS. Negative 36 cents versus negative 34 cents. Sales came in at 6.3 billion, missed the 6.42 billion. And yeah, I mean, they didn't have the strong guidance to come in afterward and help lift up the stock like American did. So Southwest now continuing to get punished, trading down below $28 a share.
Very interesting that Southwest LUV has went from best of breed to worst of breed seemingly very quickly. Like 5 years ago, we were always talking about how well LUV was run. It was the Warren Buffett was in there. And, you know, everybody, Southwest was the airline that everybody was always trying to be. They always hedged at the right times with the oil prices. They always seem to do everything right. And you know what? It seems like LUV is just doing everything wrong here now. I mean, we are in this environment, and we can cover the RCL earnings too, that travel is just hot. You know, the airlines are printing money, yet somehow, some way, and again, you know, I don't follow it closely enough, but you can just take the numbers at face value. They're losing money. How are you losing money right now?
They had to cancel a bunch of flights. Like every 6 months, they like wipe out. Oh, we got a computer malfunction. It's like they have me working their computer system.
Or me. Joel, it's like the airlines are killing it. UAL killing it. Delta killing it. American Airlines killing it. I mean, American Airlines, and I'm long American Airlines, full disclosure. You know, you look at these earnings. You know, they're projecting themselves to make here, just bringing up the pro. My pro is slow here too right now. $2.25 to $2.35. You're talking about $2.35. The stock's a $14 stock. I mean, you're talking about a PE of 6 on this puppy. You know, they're printing money. And again, I'm not saying you go in, it just seems to not matter. But how the hell is LUV losing money in this environment? There must be something else happening. But I think, you know, just, you know, worst of breed is LUV. And then, you know, you have RCL. Just the travel trade's so hot. If LUV can't bring it right now, when are they going to bring it?
Huh. And I'm just looking at the Southwest destinations. I mean, Vegas. People are still going to Vegas. San Fran, maybe the travel's dip. But Dallas, I mean, you know, Texas is pretty hot. Chicago, I don't want to be in downtown Chicago. Cozumel, I don't know. I mean, I think ever since they got rid of the $9.99 flights between Chicago and Detroit, that was about 100 years ago. And also the seats used to face each other in the back. Do you remember that? Did you ever fly on that? I don't know. But I'm going to do quick technicals on both. And the low of the day could be in here in Southwest. They whipped this thing all the way down to 26.26. So this is a thick stock. It's trading 430,000. I think people will be stacking bids. I don't think you'll see that pre-market low. If you're looking for continued on the upside here, got to get through this 27.50. And then you got a ways to go to fill the gap way up at $29. AAL, I'm looking at it. I'd be worried about it pulling a Boeing. Look at that red candle in Boeing yesterday. Yeah, one builds airplanes, the other one flies it. But I'm looking at the AAL here, and I look at this $15 area. And, man, I'd kind of be licking my chops here because you gap down. You had a high at 15.11, and then it was straight down after that. I can see the institution saying, you know what? This gets back at 15, you know, sell me a half a million. So that would be got to get through the pre-market high. It's only 14.75. And real quick, just finishing up, Delta, look at this, hanging in here after their good report.
Yeah,
putting in a quad bottom at 48. So Love is not getting the love of the other airlines.
And deservedly so. You know, when you've got the earnings not hitting the bar where everybody else is hitting, there's issues here. So I'm staying away from LUV. I do have a piece in AAL. I've thought about, you know, the one problem here is like the airlines have really been killing it on earnings and they just don't get any love. And I mean, if they ever go into a down cycle here, then the stocks all get hit. The stocks aren't rallying on good earnings. It's an issue. I mean, UAL did rally on its earnings and is holding up here. And Delta's up too. But AAL's just been hanging out the same spot. I bought this at like 15 like a year ago. It's been all over the place here. I've been up, down, left, right, and
I know you have.
Yeah, just like it's one of these like, you know, Intel for you. You're up in it, then you're down in it, then you're up in it, then you're down in it. It's like, man, long-term investing really sucks. You know, you get like short-term trading gains and you're like, bang, I made a great call. I'm out. Bang, I made a great call. I'm out. And then you're in here and these stocks here and they're doing nothing. You know, we've been in a pretty good, you know, run here for stocks for the last couple of years, but AAL just gone nowhere on good earnings.
Yeah, going back to your point about Southwest canceling flights, I do think that big fiasco last year around the holidays where like Southwest had to cancel hundreds of flights. I think that actually did damage the company's, you know, people's perception of the company, especially because it's like the worst time of the year for that to happen. Not only is travel higher around the holidays, but everyone is just like chilling at home with their families, not a lot to do or talk about. And all of a sudden you hear these like news stories of Southwest canceling hundreds of flights. I was down in Florida and I remember my whole family was talking about, they're like, oh, I hope you're not flying Southwest back, this and that. And it's like not in the normal news cycle where you have all this other stuff going on. So I think a lot of people, you know, after that, we're like, oh, I'm not going to buy a Southwest flight. I don't want it getting canceled. I'll rather go buy a Delta flight, this or that. So even though they probably didn't lose that much money relatively based on that one day, it could have done a lot to damage people's perception of it. Moving on.
Just real quick, you know what they need?
GDP coming in 2 minutes too.
Yeah, they got to get, you know what, this thing will get a pop, and I don't know when and if it's going to happen, and I don't want to call for anyone's job, but man, I'd boot the CEO. I'd say, man, come on, pack your bags.
Didn't they do that already? When did they boot the CEO?
I don't know. Did they already do that? I don't know. Southwest. I mean, they need some leadership change here or something. Because let's see. Nah, he's been there.
No, you're right. He's been there forever. Bob Jordan. Yeah. 36 years he's worked for Southwest. He's been there for a while here.
36 years. Okay.
Oh, it looks like he just took over CEO job. It looks like in 2022.
Well, let's see how the monthly chart looks.
Gary Kelly was before that. So
yeah, I mean, it's kind of mean to me to say that, but the only reason I'm saying that is
it looks like 2022.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You know, and sometimes companies do that and then you get the pop and then you're like, you feel bad for the guy. Like, oh, the stock went up $6 because they fired the CEO and then it just leaks right back down. But, you know, this is one reason why, you know, if you perpetually short this thing, sometimes there's catalysts to move the stock overnight. And that could be a potential catalyst.
Okay. We're going to go wide here at 30 seconds.
Let's go wide.
I'm going wide. I don't trust, you know, that I don't get picked off here. Sold, or bought.
They're not huge numbers. Okay, what do we got, AB?
GDP.
We have GDP coming out and initial jobless claims. GDP is expected to come in at 2.2%. Previous was 3.4%. This is for Q1, so expected to actually fall a little bit from Q4 last year. We'll see if that ends up being the case. Then initial jobless claims, we're looking for 215,000. Waiting.
Not jumping the gun on you, folks.
Waiting. S&P's like halted. Feels like S&P's halted. They haven't made any trades yet on SPY. There it goes. Uh-oh. They're all over the place. Yeah. They're popping them.
Jobless claims came in light. 207 versus 214,000.
Now they're dropping them.
GDP came in at 1.6% versus the.
Now they're really dropping.
Now they're really dropping it. Holy. Yeah, so, all over the place.
So GDP came in light.
Go ahead.
U.S. initial jobless claims came in light as well by a few, but that's not like the jobs.
Wow. Not a big wild. One. Wild on this print. We're up, we're down, we're left, we're right. BA select start. Holy mackerel. Just looking at the TLT here. It went wide too. It traded up initially on it. They grabbed the TLT and it traded up 30, 40 cents on it. Now it's come back in. Now we're starting to go down. Now we're leaking. So bears. 50 handle?
Holy mackerel. Oh, man. There's limited support here, folks.
They're all over the place.
Tuesday's low, 50, 37, 75. I don't think we'll get that low. We just whooshed up, not yesterday, because you called the break yesterday, but the two previous days, I mean, you just float up. You take out 10, 20, 30 handles. It's hard to find support. But right now, 50, 55, if I had to be licking my chops for a buy here, it'd be down at 50, 38. And I don't think we're going to get that low. So the wild. GDP, well, the GDP was weak.
Yeah, GDP was slightly weak. The jobless claims came in slightly lighter than expected as well, which I don't know. I mean, you would think that's good news for inflation, though.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I don't know. I think like the market's still trying to determine is good news, is bad news, good news. I don't know. But either way, you do have the GDP that came in about, I mean, that's a pretty significant miss from the expectations. 2.5% were the expectations. Came in at 1.6, almost a full percentage point there. Core PCE prices, though, came in at 3.7% versus 3.4%. So I don't know why they're doing this for the PCE. We get like the core number today and then the rest of them tomorrow. I know.
That's confusing. I think the overall read here is which should be people talking like, oh, interest rates should be going down because you see a little bit of weakness.
Holy.
Here.
Wow. Yeah. Just crush them now here.
Katie, bar the door.
Turn around. They're crushing that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, holy, it's this hotter. Man. I think it's this hotter than expected PCE print, which, they say is the Fed's, favorite gauge of inflation. And PCE came in at 3.7% versus 3.4% estimated. But again, that's not really conducive to the idea of the GDP falling. So I don't know. I mean, we talk about the problems in the way that these numbers are calculated a lot. So I think they'll just, if there's any Fed speak in the next couple of days, they'll probably say, oh, we need to wait for more data to come out to see. But, not a good news if the GDP is falling while inflation isn't falling with it. So
stagflation.
Yeah, I saw someone throw that word, the S word, out in the chat. I'm not ready to call it a stagflation economy because I don't think that's, one print today isn't going to mean that that's what we're seeing, especially when the economy's been so hot. But a little bit of slowdown in the economy may not be the worst thing when it comes to inflation.
Wow, this is a crazy turn in this market here. Like, we were trading up on the IWM all morning, looking pretty strong, and just boom, boom, boom. And now we are literally
everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they're hitting everything now here. We talked about these not hitting everything market. They're trying to hit everything right now. They're even hitting the TLT. TLT's lost 50. It's funny, they bought it on the initial number. GDP came in light, and they're like,
you
thought
the IWM was actually going to go up today? It never goes up.
Just sell those small caps.
It never
always
goes
crap.
Up.
They get a rally. Yes, sell those small caps. They're all crappy. Kind of.
All right. Before we got Christian Frommerts hanging out backstage, I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on it. Before we bring on Christian, I want to break down one more earnings real quick. A lot of times, guys, when people aren't in a stock, when someone's not in a stock and they want to be, they're trying to justify not being in it. Oh, it's too expensive. I'm not going to buy it here. Not going to buy it here. But then what happens when that stock that's expensive just keeps beating earnings quarter after quarter? And that's what's happening with Chipotle. You look at the numbers, you're looking at the valuation. Okay. 55 forward PE, 8 price to sales. This stock's expensive, but then what does it do? It just keeps beating earnings every single quarter. Chipotle reported and beat again last night. EPS of $13.37, beat by $1.70 revenue of $2.7 billion, beat by $30 million. Chipotle did announce a stock split a few months ago that's set to take effect this summer in June sometime. But the stock is now trading above $3,000. I mean, just a monster when it comes to its earnings reports.
I don't know what to say about the markets.
I'm having trouble focusing on stocks here.
Yeah. I'll take it over. You got
go, Christian. I'm just getting hit here. So,
All right. Go to Christian. I'll just take it away here. Wow. 30-40. I mean, if that was your target, there it is. You hit it in a regular session. I'll just call that temporary resistance. And then, I don't know. Will this thing trade under 3,000 a day in this kind of market? Who the heck knows? I can't wait till it splits and it's more easy stock to read. But let's bring on the one and only Christian Fromhertz. Christian Fromhertz, the CEO, founder of Tribeca Trade Group, a frequent guest on The Closing Print every Tuesday. He managed an update on Tuesday. Christian.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Christian. How are you?
Good. Yeah, it looks like the economics, I don't know, it looks like a little bit of an overreaction, but, you know, the trend was kind of, for the day, wasn't looking great to begin with. But, I don't know. You did a good job of going over all these data points. I don't know which one the market doesn't like, but I think it's a little bit of a overreaction. Maybe that core PCE number a little bit hot, but then tomorrow is the bigger number, even though the market doesn't really care too much about the PCE deflator. But you'll get another gauge of inflation tomorrow. That'll be interesting because I think that is a little bit of a less of an emphasis on commodities, but we'll see what that number, I think they're expecting 0.3% for tomorrow's number.
Okay, I think when I talked to you on Tuesday, you were a little bit cautious. It was after the close. You were like, because this is how Christian trades. A stock goes up like this, and then he buys it. And then it usually goes up like this, you know. And then he sells, he trims a little bit, and then I don't know what the hell happens after that. But what I want to talk to you about first here and just overall, so – you had the panic low last Friday. We had the exuberance yesterday, getting back over 5,100. How do you gauge whether, like, this is a major, like, we had a major bottom on Friday, and this is just a pullback? Everyone that missed that low on Friday, you know, you got to get in here. How do you fight that, and how do you approach that? I don't know if you want to pick a particular stock. You know, I'm S&P centric. How do you gauge something like that, Christian?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what was kind of interesting too, just rewinding to what we saw towards the end of last week, but, you know, of course, like all the attention was on what NVIDIA was doing and SMCI, but the majority of stocks actually, like if you looked at the overall stock market and stocks, there was actually, the breadth was pretty good for the day and there was more names that were going up. So I thought that that action on Friday was actually encouraging. And we started to see breath kind of improve a little bit towards the end of last week, carry forward through the first couple of days of this week. But it's more of just, you know, for now, it's kind of an oversold bounce. It's tough to say that right now that, you know, I didn't think that we were going to shoot right back up, but I thought that we would have some type of a bounce and then maybe a little bit of backing and filling. But, you know, it depends on these big earnings reports too, because you know, they're going to dictate, you know, when you look at market cap weighted indices like SPY and like the Qs, right? These big names are going to impact those indices. But that's for the major indices. I think that there's just not a lot of areas right now that are showing strength. I think the utilities have been up 6 days in a row. I may be off on my count, but consumer staples have been up 7 days in a row. And then, you know, so that's not the best strength that we want to see.
Now, the financials, you don't want that.
Yeah, the financials are in there too. And, you know, going back to your comment, like, you know, when I started to see Wells Fargo break out towards the end of last week, you know, that was a trade that I took. And to your comment about me going after a name, as long as it's a fresh breakout, right, as long as it's kind of breaking out of some consolidation, which Wells Fargo was doing. But I thought, hey, you know, this is really interesting. And then, you know, that was the first one that I kind of saw out of the financials. But you've seen Goldman go, you've seen JP Morgan really come back quite nicely. So, you know, this group, you know, outside of those lower volatility areas of the market, you know, I think the financials are kind of telling us something. And so, you know, you can kind of, in this market where we've got earnings season is front and center, you know, I think that we're going to see some names. And I think Dennis, I forget how he described it, but it's kind of all over the place. You've got some names that are doing pretty well, and then you've got some other names that are missing. So that's really what earnings season, like to me, earnings season is basically to kind of, you know, put together a list of names that are doing really well, because they could be your potential leaders for the next quarter.
The narrative, the interest rate narrative here of, you know, we wanted to shift away from the whole interest rate going up, going down, staying flat here. Do you think the bonds and the TLT have been kicking us in the head,
yeah,
telling us that rates are not going down? The market, the stock market has refused to listen here. Do you think the Fed's going to get a little bit tougher here and you know, right now, with the numbers we're seeing, at least with this PCE indication, we're not going lower. You know, where do you put the probability that the, you know, everyone thinking rates are going lower? Maybe the next move is higher.
Yeah, I think, you know, the market's been reconciling that. I thought it was, you know, somewhat ridiculous that the market was pricing in all these cuts. And you know, so now that they're only talking about, or the probabilities are now more in line, I think, with the actual expectations of, you know, maybe one cut this year, I think that's right in line. And I think the you know, for the most part, the Fed's hands are tied, because you can't lower interest rates until you really start to see inflation tick down. And, you know, we haven't gotten that yet. And, you know, so there's not much to really, there's not much for them to do other than, you know, to, you know, have seven Fed speakers talk about the exact same thing, that they need to see inflation to come down. So I think that they're not going to do much for this year.
Christian, when looking at the overall market, you know, what could make us drive like to this next step back to all-time highs, drive higher if we don't get an interest rate cut this year? I mean, it seems like earnings season now, it seems like companies have to like beat substantially and raise guidance substantially for the stocks to trade higher. So it's probably a very high bar to hope that they all do that across the board. So like, is there anything after earnings season that could act as a catalyst to drive us higher? Are we going to be pretty centric and focused on the interest rates?
Well, I think it's a fragmented market, because, you know, if you do look at those interest rates and you're long right now, if you're rolling your T-bills over, or if you're playing like one of these high money market accounts, you kind of want interest rates probably to kind of, you know, stay where they are, because you're making a lot of money off of, you know, off of that interest rate. And that allows you to, you know, to spend money. So, you know, I think the high net worth individual is not probably complaining about interest rates too much, because you know, what you're getting in terms of a savings account is huge. So, and I think that does translate into some companies doing very well. If you look at American Express, for example, in their earnings report, and speaking of a breakout, like that's a really nice move. So I think those areas of the market, and you guys were doing a great job talking about airlines, which I always view the airlines as kind of a tough trade. So I kind of just sit on my hands and take note. But, you know, look at what United Airlines did on their earnings. Like that was really, to me, a surprise to see that name go up like 3 or 4 days in a row. Royal Caribbean, you know, this morning too, having good earnings. Like people are still going out and spending money. I know Joel is a jet setter all over the place, and you know, I would imagine you saw that the airports were probably packed.
They are,
yeah,
yeah. In Delta, man, this is basically, they're like, get in the plane, sit your butt down, buckle up. We're taking off. We're I've had a couple flights that have been early. I mean, how often does that happen? Let's just go to the big dog here. I don't know if you have a position in Meta. I don't know if you're going to mess with Meta today here, but the big gap fill at 400, that's like, and no one wants to hear that that's where I thought support would be, but how you approach? I think what the Christian Fraunhofer's for the 100 years that I've known you, you're going to let it just settle today, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to see how it reacts, see if it puts in a little bit of a bottom. Where's it at according? It's still got to be way above the 200 day, right? Where's the 200 or the 50 day? Which one do you like, 50 or 200?
Yeah, I think like so the 50. I mean, for stocks that have been in defined uptrends like Meta has been, the 50 day moving average really becomes important to me. Okay. So I think, you know, just as you said, I think you kind of have to let it breathe for a little bit. I like when there's a bad earnings report. Well, I don't like when there's a bad earnings report, but I like waiting. And you know, it's the old 3 day rule. You know, let 3 days go by and see if institute, because there's so many alongs that are kind of caught in this stock. They may need to sell. They may need to, you know, do some things. So I think let 3 days go by. But I think what's also interesting is you've got, you know, a lot more big earnings reports coming out, and at least they set the bar, you know, kind of low for the names that are reporting after the close. Like, you know, I think this kind of helps Google's cause a little bit, you know, seeing them down quite a bit. Like, so I haven't really been a fan of tech over the last, you know, couple months. But I think Google will be an interesting report. And I think they're implying about a 5.5% move. So, you know, it kind of entices me. I probably wasn't going to do anything on Google for earnings, but seeing it down about $6 or $7, you know, it might be worth a shot, because they're different companies. And sometimes these big companies, you have two go in one direction and two going in another direction. So I think this will be an interesting report too. I think Microsoft, I think, is going to be kind of tougher because, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling on Microsoft, just because it kind of looks a little bit like the charts of Netflix and Meta beforehand. They've gone up so much, you know, so I think for some of these companies, the risk is to the downside, considering the ascent that they've had over the last year.
You know what? I came up with a new name for that strategy that you just had. And let's see if you're old enough to get it. You know, the 3 day rule. Why don't we call it the Lionel Richie strategy?
The Lionel Richie's. So what's the reference that you're going? I don't know. What do you
I bet you the chat can get it. It's from an old song. Let's see if we got any. There's an old song from Lionel Richie. There you go. Thinking about it, I knew he would get it. It's an old song. Once, twice, three times a lady. So I just coined that. Everyone can make fun of me on that one. Okay, Christian, anything, you know, are you at the hedging point? I know you don't like the short stocks, a ton, but I know you do put some hedges on every once in a while when you get a little bit nervous. And I guess I should have had John on Tuesday or Wednesday to talk about a hedging strategy here. But, you know, what do you think? I mean, is it too late? We just dropped, you know, 80 points off that high from yesterday. You think throwing a hedge on here for people that like to do that, you know, you think you're paying way up on the puts or something, or the calls are getting deflated? What do you think?
I mean, it depends on how you're positioned. You know, if you're holding some of the single stocks in these tech names, yeah, I would think about a Q's hedge. But you know, that's what a hedge is for, you know, for to kind of protect your long exposure. So I would watch this 420 level in the Qs. And if we start breaking back below that, then I think that's the area to kind of go after to, you know, even if you're looking.
You always do that to me. You always check out my level from a different perspective. We have you have a very sophisticated VPOC extra, you know, Christian Fraunhofer's mathematically based formula, and I just kind of pick number. No, I do have a little bit of method to my madness, but I like that 420 area too. That's actually, if you look at it, we're just at the low from Tuesday. And I mentioned the low from Tuesday in the S&Ps here, right under 50.40. So I think that's where the bulls really, really have to step up as well. I just want to get your reaction to the Tesla earnings. We have a lot of Tesla fans here. Low bar. We talk about a super low bar. I know you probably weren't in it because it's way below all its averages here. Just from a long perspective here, what would you be looking for? Like, if you're like, oh, this is the Tesla turn, they're never going to fill that gap. For me, I would want to see that low from yesterday hold, the gap protected. But what would you do looking at Tesla, your way of analysis? What would you say to the bulls out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tesla is one of those examples where you always kind of have to, remember where sentiment is going into earnings. And, you know, this thing was so washed out and there wasn't any good news in the stock for so long. There's been nothing but bad news. So just the slightest good news. And that's what we were talking about, you know, in my trading room, was that I didn't have the guts to put on a long trade, because I think, to answer your question, there's going to be a lot of overhead supply in this name. So would I go long here? No. I mean, there's a level that I would watch, which is right around like 168.60. That would at least be a little bit of progress. But I think that this is going to be oversold bounce, I think, on earnings, but no, I wouldn't be chasing it here. And I think that it's going to take a while for Tesla to kind of regain some of that, to get out of the downtrend that it's in. And it may need to go sideways for a while first before, you know, and that could be months, basically. So, 168 level, I would be watching in the short term, okay. But it's a no touch for me.
Okay, before we let you go here at 8:52, how happy are you going to be when the Giants draft J.J. McCarthy?
Well, you know, I would be okay with that, but I'm really I'm a Bill Belichick fan in terms of a lot of things. In terms of, I use a lot of analogies from Bill Belichick to cross over to trading, but I would be happy if they just get more picks. I think that it's all a game of probabilities and stats, that if you have more picks, there's going to be some guys that work out, some guys that don't. But I'll gladly take McCarthy. I think he's going to do well. So I think like that's one pick that I would be okay with. But ultimately, if not, I say we trade down.
Did you get StreamYard on your phone?
Yep. I'm going to try it. I will try it today. Okay. I will text you later and let you know.
Christian Fromhertz, CEO, founder, Tribeca Trade Group. Probably the most frequent guest here on Pre-Market Prep and one of the best. So thank you, Christian. I may be dialing you up when you're out there with your buddies tonight. So you be safe.
Sounds good. And enjoy.
All right, Christian. Enjoy your day. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.
All right, guys, that was Christian Fromhurst, of course, with the Tribeca Trade Group. All right, Joel, we've got about 7 minutes left. Dennis is back.
Dennis is back. Dennis, you don't have to be back.
I'm just looking at just this continuous fall. We went from what are we buying today to they sold everything. So they just turned around and they've hammered everything. Now, there's still some consumer staples trying to hold up. They're trying to find reasons to buy something here. But, man, I would not have thought the GDP would be the number to just hammer this market. I also would not have thought hammered the TLT like this with this number, being light. Like, why is this bad for bonds?
I think it's the PCE, the hot PCE that came in.
Was it? Oh, so it wasn't just GDP that came out? Because I was just like,
you might have hopped off before we started talking about, but the core, which I don't like how they do this, but they basically give us one PCE number today, the core PCE, and then give us the rest tomorrow.
That's annoying.
Right, because let us get the full report, because it might just be one metric looks bad and the rest look fine, or maybe they all look bad. Who knows? But like, they gave us the PCE came in hot. So if you have hot inflation and then the slowing economy, people in the chat were talking about stagflation, this and that. It's basically just doesn't paint a good picture of what you want to see. But again, I think it's a little bit too early to start like freaking out about it.
I just think this market has just been so overbought for so long. And now you're into the cooling period. But this is an ugly number. I mean, It's a difficult market to even trade. I mean, we've talked about the choppiness, and it's been the call, fade trade. You know, even this morning, you got some stocks trading up. You're selling them. You're laughing right now because all of a sudden the IWM just reversed from 199 to 195, just like that. Like you were, you know, joking, you know, it never goes up. It seems like it just gets, you know, a couple days where it starts to look like, okay, small caps are perking up a bit, and then they just pull the rug out from under it again. So, you know, you think this is going to be a tech wreck here today, and now all of a sudden it's an everything wreck. And, you know, do they turn around and start buying tech now? Because that's been the playbook, AB and Joel. I'm going to ask you guys and the chat. Maybe they turn around and they start buying tech now that's on the dip here, because we know that's what they go to. That's the go-to trade when you start worrying about inflation again is tech stocks. So, you know, we're getting hit on everything here, and the Qs are absolutely hammered. Down $6.666, down 666 right now in the Qs. Getting really hit hard, but you wonder if you don't see that separation here happening again, if they're going to start worrying about inflation.
I think you just look at the 50% retracement of these moves, and man, my retracement calculator has been messed up lately. I don't know why. I'm going to have to take care of this later on, but I think that comes in at the 420 area for the Qs, the S&Ps. It comes in right at this area, 50, 50.45, 50.46. So I think you got maybe some jam shorts here that are like, oh, this is just what I wanted. And sometimes maybe, like, this number comes out and says something, and that other number comes out on Friday. It is a little bit different here, but all of a sudden, well, oh, we're going to focus on earnings. We're going to focus on earnings, and then boom, right? We're right back to the inflation picture. Worrying about, you know, interest rates, which I think are going to be steady for the next 5-10 years. Just hold here for 4.5. Let everything work its way through. But let's do a couple more reports here. And Cat Goes Splat here. I think we got to cover that before we end today.
25 bucks. So it gets hit here too. Go.
Cat. All right. So we got Caterpillar. Let's see, pull up the numbers real quick in our trusty Benzinga Pro. EPS came in at $5.60, beat the $5.14 estimate. Sales came in at $15.86 billion, beat the $16.21 billion estimate. Sorry. So beat on EPS, missed on sales. Let's see if we got any guidance. No, not really seeing any significant guidance. Oh, pace of revenue growth slows across all segments and regions in Q1. That's not what you want to hear. So Caterpillar trading down about 7.3% this morning, or $26.50.
It was down at 350 and consolidating, and then everything just had, you know, just got hammered here since 8:30. It's been a nonstop selling pressure on every single stock for the last 28 minutes straight. So we lost another 12 to 13 points on Caterpillar here just from the PCE print here. So incredible movement here today. You don't want to be a hero. You want to try to catch the falling knife. I just, you know, and sometimes it works. It worked the other day. Maybe it works here again. Maybe you just blindly buy dips and it works. But holy cow, man, this is ugly right now.
You know what this chart looks like and what it reminds me of? It's like when, you know, like the last hour of the markets, some big locals would come in and on the floor and they'd want to get short, right? It'd be a big down day. And they'd say, bid, bid. And then someone would say, oh, the S&Ps were maybe at like 1,500 back then. They go 1,500 for 20, sold. And then they would offer it lower. So that person would immediately be down money. Then they'd go bid, bid, sold. I mean, that's exactly what this thing has looked like.
Yeah. Now, and then the funny thing, that's called layering now. And it's illegal, actually. If you put a fake order in there now, they nail you with layering. And that's, you know, illegal. But, you know, we allow CNBC to pump penny stocks all day long. So the whole world's gone mad to a certain extent. But
Just keep an eye on the pre-market low. I don't know where the hell that's going to be. 337 is the current pre-market low. What I would try and do is I try and find three or four lows that in that area to perhaps give support. I do see two lows at 338. I'll give that a two-star as well as 334. But eventually this is going to catch a bid. Once again, maybe another candidate for the whoops trade. They continue to hit it off the open, and then if they come back, come back up through the open. S&Ps, well, we're just not going down as fast as we were before. Getting a lot of questions about Fords, and they had earnings today too, right?
Yeah, it was good until the PCE print. Everything was good until the PCE print.
I'll just give, before you give the numbers, because I don't think they really make any difference on a day like this, but after I do the technicals, first of all, GM, man, that 46 level, you got to be hawking that, folks. If you're still long GM, I mentioned this on the day of earnings, you got to knock out that 46 seller, or else I think you come down and fill the gap. Similarly, big level here. For Ford. Ford could go up today because it had a double top at 1305. You catch a 13 bid here, this may be one of the stocks that they're buying. What is the report, AB?
Ford beat, so EPS came in at 49 cents, beat the 42 cent estimate. Sales came in at 43 billion, beat by 3 billion, beat the $40.1 billion estimate. So good numbers. The EV revenue fell 84%. Year over year. So Ford's one of the companies that's been kind of scaling back its EV investments and stuff. So EV revenue fell. But other than that, really good report, strong report from Ford. Was trading higher, now pretty flat after the PCE numbers and the rest of the market got hit.
It's just everything that's been hit here. I don't know what to do with this day now. Like, I kind of felt I had like a feel for it. I kind of felt like, okay, well, they're going to be buying non-tech. And then the PCE just hammered that. Just absolutely destroyed it. And they're just like hammering things across the board. Good earnings, bad earnings. We don't care. We're just selling stocks now. So, I mean, Ford's giving it all back. Thank you, PCE. I mean, these are the kind of stocks that you don't want. You know, they want lower rates. You know, people are going to buy more cars if rates go down. Well, if you get the hot numbers there, the rates lower. Rates aren't coming this year. So you got to regroup and you got to think about, you know, that trade here now too. Lots of things to think about. One thing I will say is right now, I don't feel bad to have some cash. Like, I think if you're sitting here and you're so panicked, you know, you missed it all and you got to just buy every dip you possibly can because we're going back to all-time highs here. Maybe the case, but I feel like we're in for a good lull here. We haven't even hit. Give a perspective here. I mean, SP's just had a rally back again. That rally was probably just another selling opportunity. We never hit the 10%. Where would the 10% retracement bring us on the SPY, Joel? 524? 50 points off. We got like 475.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
We're down like 4 or 5% from the highs here.
I know. It's
so
nothing.
This really isn't much of a dip. I mean, we can't just come in here and say, yep, this is it. This is my big buying opportunity here. I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it.
All right. Well, before we go, I did want to just bring up this AAII sentiment survey. It comes out every Thursday. So as you can see, the bullish sentiment has plummeted week over week, going from around 38.3% to 32. It's basically now split all evenly across the board between bulls, neutral, and bears. You're seeing interestingly, you didn't really see the bear sentiment tick up too high week over week. But look, I mean, just at the beginning of the month, at the beginning of April, we had basically 50% bulls and 20% bears. Now it's 33% and 33%. So people are getting a little bit more cautious. If today ends up being the bloodbath that it looks like it could be, I expect that number to continue to increase, which typically coincides with buying opportunities. So I'm waiting a little bit because my initial gut reaction right now is like, oh my God, look, stocks are on sale. I want to go buy. But now I kind of want to wait, let things settle a little bit. And then maybe in a week or two, if we continue the retracement, that will be my buying opportunity. But 9:03 a.m. here, time to wrap. Joel, who do we got coming on tomorrow?
We got Jeremy Schwartz coming on from Wisdom Tree, and he always has a lot of wisdom for us. And I really enjoy his fundamental look at the markets, sprinkles in some technicals here. So that's who we got tomorrow. Also, we got the PCE. Also, this is the last day you guys are going to have to hear me talk about the draft here, the NFL draft coming live from the Motor City. Y'all got to turn in. Tune in at 7:55, 8 o'clock. I got a few tricks up my sleeve for early on. So if you don't want to watch the boring, mundane ESPN Roger Goodell channel, you want to hear from some of our from our listeners. Maybe we'll get, I know for sure we're going to get Ryan Dietrich on. Statman Dude's going to be looking at sports. So we'll be covering the draft. I'm going to be up really late tonight. So if I'm not here in the morning, that draft hopefully will be over by midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. But tune in, folks. I just dropped the link in there to watch the NFL draft tonight live from the Motor City.
Beautiful. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for tuning in again. Like Joel said, make sure to check out the draft stream tonight. It'll be a lot of fun. It's amazing that we have this right in downtown Detroit. Other than that, we will see you guys tomorrow, 8 a.m. Hope everyone tries to stay green today on what looks like a red day.